This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Live off the record with Chicago Lang is brought to you by Bahamas Customs, Burger King, the Cleveland Clinic, the Insurance Commission of the Bahamas, RF Bank and Trust, and Royal Star Assurance.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Chicago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. If you want to give us a call today here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, you can call us on 323-6232, 323-6232, or 325-4316. 325-4316 or 325-4259. 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. We are live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. That's the way my mother listens to the show. Or you can catch us on BTC Flow channel 612. That's BTC Flow channel 612. So, for decades, not for 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, for decades in the Bahamas, it was a staple and a sought-after statement by the Minister of Finance of the country at budget time during his budget communication, or in the instance where the Deputy Prime Minister then was acting Prime Minister and Minister of Finance, the Honorable Cynthia Mother Pratt. It was a sought-after statement. What was the statement? I am happy to report that there are no new taxes or increases in taxes. That was the sought-after statement. Why? Because every Minister of Finance knows, every Bahamian knows, nobody wants to be taxed. People do not want to be taxed. And so to hear the Minister of Finance say no new taxes was just a thrill. That means there'd be no further burden on my pocket as a taxpayer. I would have the benefit of not having to pay the government of the Bahamas anything in addition to what I am already obligated to pay. And so it isn't surprising that once that statement is made, people start clapping on the table. All the members of parliament start clapping on the table, particularly from the government side, because that means that they could go to their public and say that this budget will not place any additional taxes on the people. And so the poor people would love them. The rich people would love them and be so delighted and so happy about that. The Prime Minister and Minister of Finance, Brad Davis, in this budget communication for the 23-24 budget communication said this: a key focus will be to generate more revenue for the public purse without raising taxes. He went on to say, this means no increase in VAT rate, no increase in custom duties, excise duty, tax rates, and real property tax rates. We will instead increase revenue collection by improving tax compliance and enforcement. This is based on the simple principle of fairness. Most people pay their taxes. So the Prime Minister didn't make the normal statement. I mean, the normal statement is, I'm happy to report there are no new taxes or increases in taxes. So that you understand what he said, I'm going to read it for you again. I'm going to read what the Prime Minister says. Sometimes we just take things for granted. The Prime Minister says, a key focus would be to generate more revenue from the public purse without raising taxes. Now, does he mean without raising any tax? And then what does he mean by tax? Well, the Prime Minister goes on further to say, this means, so he's telling you what he means. No increase in VAT. So did the VAT rate increase? No. No increase in customs duties. Did any custom duty rate increase? No. No increase in excise duty. Did any excise duty rise? No. Then he says something interesting. He just comma, he says tax rates. Okay. So that now means all the general areas. Is that what that means? And then he said real property tax rates. Was there any increase in those areas? No. Again, not the usual statement. No increases in taxes, no new taxes or increases in taxes. But this expansion to clarify is interesting. Okay? So if I were walking away from that, I would conclude that he meant no new taxes or increases in taxes. That's what I would walk away concluding. Even though I concede, maybe there was little wiggle in room for some. Okay. So let me show you something. I have the numbers now. I have the detailed numbers. And so I want you to hear something about the numbers on the revenue side. We're going to deal with the expenditure side tomorrow. But on the revenue side. So please remember that the government forecasted, estimated that in this current fiscal year, meaning 2022, which started in July of last year, 2023, June, which will end this year, June, the government forecasted that it expected to raise $2.8 billion, thereabouts, $2.8 billion. Since that time, it is forecasting that it will actually raise $2.9 billion or thereabouts, which is $100 million more. So it's going to do better than it forecasted. Now, in the upcoming budget year, remember now, no new taxes, not raising any taxes. In the upcoming budget year, the government is forecasting a revenue of $3.3 billion. That means the government expects in the next fiscal year to have $500 million more dollars than it forecasted in the current fiscal year and $400 million more than it expects now will result in this fiscal year. $400 to $500 new dollars, no new taxes, no increases in taxes. It would be reasonable to ask then, how, where is this money going to come from? Well, we can, I keep telling you guys, if you go to the government budget document, you will get details of what the government says it is expecting to do in each area of revenue. So, for instance, taxes on property, the government expects that it will raise $18 million more. So it'll get $18 million of that $400 million through new taxes. In value-added tax, it expects to get about under $200 million in new taxes. So that's 200 of your $500 million, almost 200. That's coming there because the government expects to raise $1.735 million compared to $1.735 billion compared to $1.591 billion in value-added taxes. It expects to get about $12 million more in taxes on financial and capital transactions. It is expecting increases on something called taxes on specific services. It is expecting about $22 million new dollars from taxes on use and permissions and use of goods. It is expecting almost $62 million on international trade and transactions, that's customs duties areas. So you can see that much of that $400, $500 million is right there. Administrative fees, it expects to get an additional $18 million or thereabouts. And basically, that's where the new revenue is coming from, mostly from taxes, the new revenue from VAT and property and capital transactions and so forth and so forth. Then there's most of the other things are a hole in the line. And if you want, you can get even further details in each of those categories from the government when you go to each of the revenue heads. The government further breaks down, like if you want to know what this $256 million for taxes on use and permissions is, so you can go, we can go to that. And if I could find it, and it'll give us the details of taxes. You are noting yet casino tax, $35.6 million, which is about $7 million more. Gaming house tax, about $41 million, which is about $5 million more. So the bottom line here is that the government expects to raise between $400 to $500 million new dollars, depending on which forecast you are looking at versus the current year. It expects to get, you know, people are making some hay about but departure taxes increasing, passenger taxes. But the truth is the government is only forecasting about $4 million increase in that area and about $6 million in sea departure taxes. So about $10 million new in departure taxes. So the government is forecasting a substantial increase in revenue, substantial increase in revenue. As I said, about $500 million. What is that in percentage terms? $500 million. $500 million is about, whoa, that's substantial. That's like a 20-something percent increase. And the government is doing that while it says it's not increasing, it's not introducing any new tax, and it's not increasing any new tax. But the leader of the opposition says the government misled the public. That in point of fact, there are new taxes in this budget. Let's see. Let's look at it. Are there new taxes in this budget? For you? For me? For international persons? Let's see. We're going to take a break, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Z-Live. I'm Shabaga Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break. I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Wednesdays just got a whole lot better. Introducing Whopper Wednesdays at Burger King Nassau. Get a flame-grilled Whopper for only $5.50, including VAT. Yes, you heard that right. This Wednesday, you can indulge in the classic flame-grilled Whopper you love, made your way for only $5.50. Stop by your favorite Burger King Nassau location this Wednesday and enjoy a Whopper for only $5.50. Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
When you get back home from vacation, the last thing you want to do is stand on another line to fill out your exemption paperwork. Well, guess what? You don't. Customs just got simpled with Exempt. Now, with the click of a button, you can fill out your customs form, calculate duties, and even pay online while you still troubleshoot your QR code to the customs officer, let them check your bag, and you're out of there. All you have to do is download the Exempt app. It's as easy as 3, 2, 1. Exempt, making travel and customs simple. As of June 12, 2023, this app will become mandatory for all returning residents of the Bahamas. The Exempt app is now available on Google Play or Apple.
Tired of paying too many bills and loan payments each month?
Shrink your monthly debt payments down to one easy payment with our debt consolidation loan.
It also has a built-in savings that pays you 5% interest.
Inquire about our debt consolidation loans today.
Call 356-7764.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shabago Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. If you want to give us a call at some point, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. So the question is, are there any new taxes in the proposed budget for 2023-2024? Despite the fact that apparently the Prime Minister said there are no new taxes or no taxes have been raised. Okay? So one of the things that the leader of the opposition points to is the passenger tax. He says the government has introduced an amendment to the Passenger Tax Act, and that amendment means introduces a tourism development levy, and that means that the government has raised taxes despite saying it has not. Is he correct? Well, let's examine it, and then you tell me what you think. Now, someone who is paying attention to this might very quickly say, well, the Prime Minister said they are introducing a tourism development levy. That's not a tax. How is that a tax? It's a levy, because levies and taxes are not the same. Okay? Well, let's look at it. I am reading from the act that the government proposes to amend. This act is entitled, this is the act, this is what it's entitled, the Passenger Tax Act. All right, this was commenced in 1950. And it says, the act says, this act may be cited as the Passenger Tax Act. Now, what does the passenger tax do? Well, Clause 3 of the Act says, subject to subsection 6, there shall be charged, levied, collected, and paid into the consolidated fund toward the general revenue of the Bahamas in respect of passengers arriving and departing from the Bahamas to several, that's all it says, several sums of money specified in the first schedule to this act. So this is the Passenger Tax Act, which is going to charge, levy, collect, and pay into the consolidated fund. That's all it says. The sums of money that are in the first schedule. Well, let's look at the first schedule. Remember, this is the Passenger Tax Act. What does the Passenger Tax Act levy on people? It's in the first schedule. Listen to the description of it. Every person of or above the age of 6 years leaving the Bahamas other than by sea, $15. And no mention of the word tax, but this is the Passenger Tax Act, but mention of the word levy from the Clause 3. On and after the first day of January 1992, but before first day of April 1992, every passenger, blah, 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 $10. Okay, on and every single instance, it says what it describes, who it applies to, and it simply says $10, $13, $15. In other words, the Passenger Tax Act describes every instance of charging a passenger in this act under the schedule. It describes a levy, meaning that it is the tax. Okay, so that's the act. Now, what was submitted to the parliament is an amendment to the Passenger Tax Act. And that amendment to the Passenger Tax Act amends the first schedule. Amended how? Every passenger leaving the Bahamas other than by sea now pays a $28 passenger tax compared to the $15 that they used to pay. Who is every passenger? Every passenger, you, me, and every passenger. Doesn't say except for. So if you go by sea, you'll pay $28. Every cruise ship passenger leaving the Bahamas by sea from the harbor of Nassau, from the harbor in Freeport or in Bimini, $23. That's an increase. That's every passenger. Every cruise ship passenger leaving the Bahamas by sea from a private island, not visiting, will pay $25. That's an increase. And then there is an introduction of an environmental levy for every cruise ship passenger arriving are leaving the Bahamas. Every cruise ship passenger arriving or leaving, if you're a Bahamian arriving or leaving, you are included in every cruise ship passenger, I believe, right? Then Schedule 4 of the bill, the act is amended. And Schedule 4 of the act is amended to, rather, to introduce this tourism enhancement levy. And listen to who it's for. It's for every passenger arriving or leaving the Bahamas. Doesn't say by sea only, doesn't say by air only. Every passenger arriving or leaving the Bahamas. That's every passenger means everyone is included. Chicago flies to Florida, he pays the tourism development levy. Chicago returns to Bahamas, he pays the, as far as I understand this. Right? In the objects and reasons of the bill, it says, clause one of the bill sets out the short title and commencement. What does clause one call the bill? Clause one calls the bill, this act amends the Passenger Tax Act and may be cited as the Passenger Tax Amendment Act 2023. How do you amend a tax act? Right? If you change the numbers in a tax act, you amend the act. So if you lower the numbers, you reduce the taxes. If you raise the numbers, you increase the taxes. So it's still called the Passenger Tax Act, right? It says that in objects and reasons, it says that clause two of the bill seeks to introduce a tourism enhancement levy on passengers arriving and leaving the Bahamas to be deposited to the Tourism Development Fund established under the Tourism Development Corporation of the Bahamas Act 2023. And it also introduces the tourism environmental levy. Okay, now, so these amendments to the Passenger Tax Act, which has as taxes the various levies, charges in the schedules, are being increased. In one instance, a new something being introduced. Is that therefore a new tax or increase in tax? That is the question. And it is difficult on the face of it to argue that it is not. It'd be difficult to do that, right? Because the act, the tax act, the Passenger Tax Act gives you the schedule of its taxes, sums levied, charged, or paid. And those sums in the first schedule are increased. And then a fourth schedule is introduced to introduce a new levy, which is a tax, the tourism development levy. Now, somebody could come and try to get technical and say, but it's a levy, not a tax. I'm sorry, that argument cannot hold for the Passenger Tax Act. In fact, every tax is a levy. It's a general levy on the public, a fee levy for a specific purpose. So for instance, here's the difference between a fee and a tax. All of us have to pay our value-added taxes. Everybody, bar none, have to pay value-added taxes on the stuff, right? But you don't have to pay a business license fee. Why? Because you don't have to you don't have to have a business or license it, right? You can not license it and operate illegally, but if you don't have any business, you'll never pay that. So most people don't pay a business license fee. Right? You don't have to pay a driver's license fee because you don't have to get a driver's license. Get the license for the service delivered on giving you the driver's license. Taxes are general across the board. Right? So that's a general difference. That's a distinction that's made between taxes and fees. Here is what is true, though. Technical as we might get about taxes, fees, etc., in some ways, these are technicalities to this extent. If the government levies a, let's say, income tax on you, what happens? Your income comes in, the government extracts a sum of money from you. So what's the impact? See, in tax studies, we looked at incident and impact. Incident is who does it fall upon? Impact is how does it affect? So there's incident and an impact. So let's say the government says, okay, don't tax them, don't charge them a tax, don't call it a tax. Call it a 5% levy. The incident, if it falls on you, if it were a tax, it falls on you. The impact, if it falls on you, it falls on you. And so the effect of it is to reduce your disposable income. Tax, levy, fee, charge, what's the difference? At the end of the day, you're out of pocket some sum of money. So connotatively speaking, every instance in which the extracts from you a sum of money, connotatively speaking, not technically speaking, is a taxing. That's why people often say, man, why are you taxing me? Don't you say to your friend, man, my boy just finished taxing me $10, bro. Why are you saying that? Because you're saying he didn't literally coerce you to give him you money, but the burden of the impact of freeing up $10 from your pocket, you referred to as taxing. So fee, levy, tax, impact, that's what you look for. And in this instance though, we're not even having to get to connotative stuff. We are looking at the Passenger Tax Act that raises the levies, charges, and sums paid in the act itself and introduces a new levy sum charge to be paid. Is that a new tax? Is that raising taxes? I'll wait to hear from you. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Chivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
After a hurricane or storm, get the Nassau Guardian's Hurricane Guide. The guide will tell you where to purchase building and cleaning supplies, waste disposal, medical care, which auto shop to go to after driving through flooded streets, and much more. The Nassau Guardian's Hurricane Guide will help to make sure everyone knows what to do in the event a hurricane approaches and after it departs. Take advantage of this double insertion opportunity plus 15 rates. Contact us today, 302-2300. 302-2300, or call your account executive. Will you be prepared?
Have you taken a look at those investment options yet?
Too busy. Look at today. Workout, breakfast, drop kids at school, back-to-back meetings, dog from the groomer, nails, and that's all before 12. How come you're so chill?
That's because my money is as busy as you.
At RF, we find the best Bahamian and international investments to keep your money busy so you can spend more time focusing on you. Contact us at rfgroup.com to find out more. RF, money at work.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Storm, whatever weather, cold or warm, send me alone, holler if you feel like you can't
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. I trust and hope that you are doing that. You can call us on 323-623 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can also text us on 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. So we've gone through the Passenger Tax Act, which definitely is proposed to be amended. And the act does not call anything in the first schedule a tax or a levy or anything. It only describes who a sum or amount is to be paid to. Where it does describe what is the passenger tax is in clause 3, where it says there shall be charged, levied, and paid into the consolidated fund the sums outlined in the third schedule. And this is a new sum to be covered and captured in the act in a fourth schedule, which is the new tourism development levy. Is this an increase in tax? And by the way, all of the sums, all the sums in there, some of them in particular, the new tourism development levy appears to apply to everyone, Bahamian or non-Bahamian, entering and leaving the Bahamas. So if there is, in fact, a new sum, a new tax, a new levy, then it is indiscriminate insofar as who pays it is concerned. Now, again, the leader of the opposition says that the government misled the public in saying that there was no new taxes or increases in taxes. I say to you again, if I'm getting technical on the point, as I'm saying, if I'm getting technical on the point, ordinarily, I have been around the Ministry of Finance for 5 years, and then around the budget exercise itself for 10. So I have sat in the House of Assembly through 10 budget exercises and watched multiple budget exercises since then and in between then and before then. And the line was almost as standard as the sun rising after it set. I am happy to report there is no new taxes or increases in taxes in this fiscal budget being proposed. That is not what is in the Prime Minister's budget communication. He never said that. He never said those words. But the Prime Minister said, key focus will be to generate more revenue for the public purse. That's a key focus, to generate more revenue for the public purse. Ordinarily, to generate more revenue for the public purse, that means taxing or increases in taxes. New taxes or increases in taxes, ordinarily. But Brian Minister said, without raising taxes. Without. He says, the Prime Minister tells you what he means. He says, this means no increase in the back rate. Is the VAT rate increased? No. No increase on customs duties. The customs duties increased? No. Excise taxes? No. Real property taxes? No. But this is where it got tricky for the Prime Minister, Minister of Finance. He said he has a phrase here. Tax rates as a comma, excise tax duty, and then comma, tax rates. Well, that's all the rates, which would include the passenger tax rates. Even though he seems to be implying, we will instead increase revenue collection by improving tax collection and enforcement. And this is based on simple principle of fairness. Most people pay their taxes. Why should some people be allowed not to? Okay? Prime Minister says it is noteworthy that when pressed to do so, a significant number of people readily pay off their arrears. This suggests that they weren't unable to pay their taxes. They simply don't do it. And that's probably true. He says, we understand our approach differs from that of our previous administration, from the previous administration who disbanded the revenue collection unit and allowed a select group of people not to pay their taxes. But we consider that approach offensive to the sound fiscal management principles of fairness. If that's true, that's true. If that's true, that would be unfair. That's true. So the Prime Minister seems to be saying that I'm not increasing taxes, not introducing any new taxes, but this $500 million you see we're going to collect, we're going to collect most of that by revenue collection enhancement. We can make the people who ain't paying but have the means to pay, pay. $500 million worth, plus, or some. But the passenger tax amendment runs up into the Prime Minister's statements. And outside of the words tax rates, I'm telling you, I would interpret the Prime Minister to have been speaking, correct in his statement, outside of the use of the word tax rates. And he got specific about the taxes, VAT, custom duty, real property, and so forth. He's clear. Unless you can show me, is there a VAT amendment bill? Is there a real property tax amendment bill increasing taxes in those areas? If you can't show me that, then he is correct on that front. But this general statement, tax rates, this is where the passenger tax gets compressed into it. And the question is, are they contradictory statements? That's what has to now confront any analyst on the issue, anyone seeking to determine whether or not there is a contradiction, inaccuracy, misrepresentation in the thing. Now, here's the difference. When the leader of the opposition says that he misled the parliament, there is a question of, did he knowingly say something that was not true? That kind of misleading is what people then say you breached the public trust. Or are you saying he misled by, maybe he didn't have a deep appreciation for the statement that was being made and the bills that was being put forward to see that there was in fact a contradiction. So he could come back and say, you know, I need to amend this statement to reflect the fact that yes, in the Passenger Tax Act, we are amending the passenger tax and we're increasing it. And in one instance, we are introducing a new tax. In which case you can claim inaccuracy or error, but no malice. A forethought. I can't judge the Prime Minister's heart or head or mind. I don't know. But clearly there is a question to be answered in relation to the Passenger Tax Act. Now, the office some comments in relation to this. And according to articles in The Guardian, that the government says really that the leader of the opposition, well, really what the government did was was to come down on the leader of the opposition, just like he come down on them. But his charge was specific. Their retort was a little bit more general to the administration past. And that's all fair game in politics. That's all fair game in politics. But the fact of the matter is, there is an issue to be raised as to whether or not the government has in fact introduced a new tax and raised taxes. And it doesn't in this instance matter on whether it's foreigners or Bahamians, because if you read the Passenger Act Amendment Bill, the impact of the changes falls on both. And some Bahamians said, they in fact raised this with me. And they said, that is a significant increase in passenger tax, but you know we ain't going to stop the end of America because the government raised that tax. I would have to say for the most part, yes, that's true. I'm not going to the U.S. because you charged me $2 more. I'm not going to the U.S. because you charged me, $13 more. Mm-hmm. I think people still can go. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabago Lang, your host. I'm so glad you could join us. We're going to take a break for news. When we come back, we'll continue our discussions. We'll be back after the news break.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shabago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on 9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, I'm interested to hear from you. You can call us on 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. This text says, great show as usual, Mr. Lang. People really believe there will be no new taxes. I don't believe it because hurricane season, I hear we have no clue the damage it may cause and cause the government money for reconstruction. If I was the PM, I would not have made the statement of no new taxes. Again, if you want to give us a call, if you want to weigh in today, please feel free to do so. So, in addition to the no new taxes issue, the government posing, well, did lay before Parliament a sugar tax bill. The sugar tax bill. The government wants to, as the minister says, lay the foundation for what is to come as it relates to sugar sweetened beverages. And so under the Customs Management Amendment Bill 2023, the government proposes a health and wellness levy. Now, that again, that's a health and wellness levy. That's a tax, right? Now, is the government going to introduce a health and wellness levy? So, obviously, you would ask the question, why would it amend, why during budget time if it did not intend to? So I'm going to get to a point later on, but here is what the Prime Minister said. We are attempting to cause Bahamians to understand what sugar is to their health. And I agree with the Prime Minister 100,000% about that. Sugar is really a problem for our health. There's no question about that. I have taken a very strong stance on sugar for my own personal health. Says we have put a framework in place to determine whether or not it will be done, but nothing is happening with that. It's not going to happen anytime soon. What does that mean? The government tables it in the budget exercise, but it's not going to do anything soon, anytime soon. What does that mean? Does that mean in this fiscal year, in the upcoming fiscal year, in the next fiscal year, in this term? What does that mean? What is the possibility that the government will follow through on this bill after 2023? Because after 2024, an election on the way, right? Says the government last week, the Prime Minister says, so we are talking with the industry to see how they are able to lessen sugar in the ingredients for sodas, etc., said Davis while responding to the questions from reporters. You're talking to Coca-Cola, Pepsi, and them because most of the things we drink are made by foreign manufacturers, right? Under, and even if they're made here, like by Coca-Cola, under license, right? You don't just adjust Coke's and Pepsi to this formula. You're talking about a trade issue, right? Now, if you're talking about some Bahamian sweetener, et cetera, okay, you could talk to them about that for sure. But remember, the sweetening is a response to market demand. And so will the market want to drink the drink after that? Mind you, I was reduced, and you kept drinking it, that'd be grand. Right? But, you know, so statistics have shown that it is one of the significant contributors to non-communicable diseases, something that this country is struggling with as I speak. So no, that is not going to be done this year. I don't see it coming very soon either. Okay. So here you have a very, I think, sensible policy focus, reducing the amount of sugar intake into our systems. Very sensible health policy focus. It is not unusual for governments to try to impact intake by taxation, because if you increase the taxes, you increase the expense. And the notion is increase pricing, reduce demand, you achieve some effort. We see that in smoking. We've had great success with that in smoking in the Bahamas, where the duties on tobacco products, 300-400% before, maybe now around 200-some percent, right? So sensible tax policy in terms of trying to reduce sugar intake. You table a bill with a, what exactly now? Prime Minister says, well, to do nothing now, and I don't see it coming anytime soon. So as critical and urgent, and as important a matter as it is to your national health, you then decide, no, I can't do this. We won't do this yet. So it does offer some challenge. Was it the pushback? Was it the notion that people don't want to be taxed? But here is where it gets sticky for me. And only the government can answer this question. is any amount of the revenue forecast based upon the introduction of a sugar tax. Did the forecast anticipate at some point passing the sugar tax, this health and wellness levy, and therefore collecting some revenue from it? It can't be to collect no boogie load of revenue. People will be discouraged from spending. And so if they're discouraged from spending, they don't have to pay the tax because they don't have to spend it. And you achieve your end. Do you know what I'm saying? So in a way, I don't even see how the prime minister necessarily loses by introducing the tax. Honestly, if the government of the Bahamas, if the opposition of the, if the opposition to the government comes out and argues against the sugar tax, I would tell them, why? Why are you arguing against the sugar tax? Old people can't afford, to be eating sugary things, depending on the items. You can't afford to be eating candy. You can't afford to be eating all these really sweetened juices. Or if you want to drink that, I'm going to tax you more so I could put the money in the health and wellness fund so I could help take care of you. Who would argue against that? And if people said, no, well, no, the prices on them things too expensive, I'm therefore not buying it, and you achieve your end, and then the store said, oh, my demand is down for this, and that's terrible, and so now I have to shift to something else, you achieve your end. So, oh, passing the sugar, the health and wellness levy, what's the downside? You don't have to buy sugary items. Neither do I, and don't give me this poor man this and poor man that. Nonsense. Nonsense. You don't have to put a levy on the Kool-Aid. You keep the Kool-Aid the same price, 35 cents, but on the box. But put it on the sugar. Seriously, sugar is the most addictive product on planet Earth. And it is a health problem. So I'm trying to understand what's the downside? What is the downside? You introduce it, but you said no new taxes. Well, amend that. Have faith in your policy posture and say, this is important. I hope it works. I hope it reduces the demand for sugary items. Every parent out there should want to do this voluntarily. Forget the government forcing you to do this. If you're a parent, for yourself and for your children, to reduce the amount of sugar in your diet. I don't see the downside. If you see the downside, tell me, please. It's Texas, good afternoon, no new taxes, but watch out for the new or increased fees. Well, we're beyond even the fees because we've looked at the Passenger Tax Act, and that act is a tax act, and it's being amended, and the sums in it are being increased, and the fourth schedule introduces a new sum. So while one could look for fees, fact of the matter is the Passenger Tax Act itself is being amended. Is that an increase in tax? Is it an introduction of a new tax? Well, that's the debate that the government and the opposition then get out for a little while. I don't see the downside on the sugar tax. I don't see it. But why introduce it and then not pull the trigger? And not even to suggest that you're going to do it anytime soon, because the prime minister says, well, again, now, I want you to listen to the Prime Minister. The Prime Minister said, it's not going to happen anytime soon. But nothing is happening with that. Yes, something is happening with it to the extent that it was introduced. So we will have to see what transpires insofar as that is concerned. So revenue will go up $500 million proposed about compared to the current fiscal budget forecast, $400 million compared to the new forecast. That's a lot of money. It's a big increase. And if you want some perspective on revenue, the government exceeded the 2021-2022 revenue actual, or will exceed the actual by $300 million or thereabouts in the current fiscal year. And now suggesting it will best that amount in the current by $500 million. And this is notwithstanding that the economy is likely to slow down in the next fiscal period compared to the current one. This text says, Mr. Lang, we should also want to reduce the cost of healthcare in this country, yet we have VAT on health insurance. That's a good point. That's a good point. It says, good day, Mr. Lang. Could it be that he said it to get brownie points or to make people think he's carefully making these, thinking about these? I don't know. I don't know. Like, the brownie points would come from who? Like, who would give you brownie points for it? The health community would. The health community would. The health conscious community would. But the vast majority of people in the Bahamas are not as health conscious as they need to be. I mean, we can drink up all them sodas. We can drink up all them sweet juices. We gonna buy up all them candies, and we're gonna keep putting the pounds on our belly and on our butts and on our, you know, thighs. And so you, those people who will be buying these sweet things, and let me tell you all something. Sweet sodas, sweet drinks, they are culprits. But white bleached flour is just sugar in the end, right? The simple carbs that break down into sugar quickly when it gets in your system. Chew right into your bloodstream of sugar, right? Rice, white rice, same thing, right? So if the prime ministers are talking about sugary things, they have to be, even if you're going to look at the health measures, you have to be even broader, because a lot of the sugar we get from the granulated sugar and from these flours, the flour and stuff like that. And there are those health people who say the flour through which we get all our bread and cakes and all that kind of stuff are in ways worse than the actual sugar. They're both bad in terms of what they do in spiking blood sugar and encouraging insulin sensitivity, right? Or reducing insulin sensitivity. But the fact of the matter is they are all part of the challenge. And so is that what we are considering as well? We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. Hi, go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hello, hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. I can hear you.
Yeah, the a levy is a tax. I don't care how much you gotta give you a levy to use my tool to go in the water. That's a tax, because I like to use my tool. But Mr. Lang, I almost said minister, but Mr. Lang, I have to get used to this. I want to ask you a question as relates to this taxation history. The prime minister doesn't want to tell you that he's going to stop the ingestion of this fermentation agent that actually caused cancer. Because I make beer, I make wine, I make alcohol, and I need fermentation. And I do know that fermentation in the cell is cancerous. And when you have cancer, you have fermentation because your cells are now getting oxygen from killing itself and killing others around it, not naturally by breathing in through the lungs. So why would not the Minister of Health talk about how important it is for metabolic therapy? Metabolic therapy, yes, it doesn't exist in the Bahamas, but it cures the cancerous effect. They are not really on tune. They're just talking numbers and money. The pharmaceutical company,
you are one of the persons who believes that that cancer is really a mitochondria issue.
Yeah, it's not genetic as they teach us to believe.
Yeah, you believe it's
metabolic issue because your cells need oxygen that comes from the lungs, not oxygen that comes from a cell that has been fermenting to destroy other cells. And that's what cancer is, right? So if we starve the body of this sugar, and the prime minister is on to something, but he don't want to go all the way because he's scared because the pharmaceutical companies would call him. Go all the way.
I don't know if he's scared of the pharmaceutical companies because the pharmaceutical companies ain't selling the sugar.
They're selling the cure, temporary.
I understand that, but I think he's concerned about the notion that he's introducing a tax. I don't think he's concerned about the pharmaceutical companies.
Man, to tell every Bahamian to stop eating sugar or stop using sugar to improve their health, and if they have cancer, to drink water instead of sugar water, that ain't something you need a permission to do. Our Minister of Health knows this. They are hinting to it.
The government doesn't need your permission to introduce anything. The government doesn't need your permission.
No, what I'm saying is people know these. People tend to follow these. Sorry, I need to listen to you because I want to talk and then I can't talk and listen.
No, you say what you wanted to say, sir.
Okay, people tend to follow these leaders to their death, to their detriment. If the prime minister says sugar is our number one killer, when it comes to diabetes, heart disease, blood pressure, if he was to say that, the pharmaceutical company would call him and say, buddy, we trying to push prescriptions. What you dealing with? And you know that. I mean, you don't know that, but I know that.
I'm not even joking. I don't know that to be true because I don't believe that to be true. I don't.
Okay, fine. But, I have doctors in my family and they have to follow a procedure. When you get in the hospital, ask them when you have cancer for metabolic therapy. They can't give it to you.
The doctors follow the procedures they know. This metabolic therapy is new to plenty, and most of the people who are on that side acknowledge that most of them don't even know what you're talking about. So they don't have any conspiracy, man. They have no conspiracy.
So we back into slavery. You and the rest of all y'all, Mr. Lang, just dump us back into slavery.
I know doctors who are people's families and friends. They love them. And then people get cancer and they introduce the same traditional routine. You think they do that because they want them to die? Because they want the pharmaceutical company to make money? Seriously?
No, sir. They do it simply because they're making money.
Because that's what they know.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is they weren't trained in metabolic therapy, how to get into the cell and how to eradicate cancer using the body to destroy it. They ain't taught that. So how can they use it?
I are agreed then. That's what I'm saying. They don't know if that's one of the things that work. They don't know.
You can use metabolic therapy and how it actually eradicate cancer, but no one is teaching it or using it in the Bahamas, but yet our prime minister is hinting to the cause of it.
We can talk about that another day. Today we ain't talking about that so much. We're talking about the prime minister's sugar policy.
Could I ask you just one more question, sir, before you get rid of me? Okay, one more question. At what point would you decide that our national debt is too high? Give me a figure. A trillion? 40 trillion? Give me a number. Or is it okay to just let it rise and just have an ecstasy on it?
When you are on it to pay it, it's definitely too high.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Okay.
You have a wonderful afternoon. Take the rest of the day off.
You, my friend, you too. This text says, Mr. Lang, we should also want to reduce the cost of health. Oh, I read that. Sorry. We have another caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. Hi, go ahead, caller.
Ah, yes, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. How you doing?
Hey, good, man. How are you?
I am good. Mr. Lang, did I hear you say that the government's revenue was exceeded by some $300 million?
Sorry, say again. You were breaking up.
Sorry. Did I hear you say that the government's revenue was exceeded by the projection was exceeded by some $300 million? What was it?
No. The government is saying that it will exceed its budget forecast for this fiscal year by $100 million, and it is forecasting that it will have $500 million more than it forecasted.
Okay, so it will exceed its current, this fiscal year's projection by $100 million, right?
Yes, sir. Yes.
Okay. So, the government also said that it will need to borrow $45 million in order to meet the budgetary's expectation for the fiscal year, right?
For this fiscal year?
Yeah.
No, man. The government deficit this fiscal year is projected at $520.6 million.
Yeah, in a statement that was, I think, it was read from the Prime Minister, it was said that they would need to borrow $45 million in order to take care of additional expenses for this budgetary year.
Yeah, but that might be so. But that brings the deficit up to $520 million.
Yeah, but I'm saying,
they had to borrow $500 million.
Yeah, no, but I'm saying that they said that. But I'm thinking, Mr. Lang, if you say that you were going to make $100, right? But you made $150. I mean that you should have an extra $50, right?
In fact, to make your point even stronger, the government projected that its deficit in this fiscal year would be $564 million. It is projecting that it will be $520 million less. So you are saying, I didn't see the statement you said. You're saying they say you have to borrow an additional $45 million. I didn't see that.
Yeah. I mean, listen again. If you listen to, I think, the Prime Minister's address, it says that they would need to borrow $45 million in order to deal with the But one other question I want to ask, Mr. Lang.
Okay.
The Prime Minister noted that the debt service ratio, whatever it was, right, it was over 100%. Now it's down to 85% because of the repayment of loans, or our debt. Or is that due because of the growth of our economy?
It's a combination of both.
Okay, so
don't forget your debt service ratio was increased largely because your GDP shrank so much,
right,
and your debt was increasing at the same time.
Right.
Now that your economy has inflated back to its normal level pre-2019, and your debt is still higher, now your debt servicing ratio is less.
Yep. So, did we reduce our national debt by any amount, or
your national debt is higher.
It's higher.
It's just the ratio that's lower, and the ratio is lower. The ratio is lower largely, as you say, because your economy has reinflated.
Right. So, technically, it looked good on paper. It looked good, but we're reducing our national debt by, we just add to it.
There's no question about shrinking relative to 2020. 2021 is shrinking, the growth of it, but it's increasing. There's no question. Your national debt is now at $13.4 billion compared to $12.8 billion compared to $12.1 billion compared to $10.3 billion.
Yeah, but like, you know, Mr. Lang, I mean, the Prime Minister said that in 2024 and 25, we hope to have a balanced budget.
And your national debt, when that happens, is going to be higher than it is today. And the next year, it'll be higher than that.
Be in trouble. Our revenue will be enough to cover all of our expenses.
Your revenue has always been enough to cover your expenses, but you have chosen
without borrowing. You know, because right now we're having a deficit, right? I guess I don't understand what a deficit is, right? But that deficit is in relation to the national debt or what?
See, you need to add something to your concept. And this is what I want you to add when you use the word deficit in respect to the Bahamas. You need to add the word planned. Mm-hmm. These are not accidental deficits. These are planned. They have been planned every year from Independence Day. So it isn't as if some sneak up on you and you run into deficit. The ministers of finance of the Bahamas have planned to spend more than they take in every year from 1973.
And so I know, because I am thinking of a deficit. It's like, okay, these are all of our expenses and whatnot, but, you know, we know that we have a shortfall here, so we have to borrow in order to...
But that's what the deficit is.
Yeah, but when you talk about $500 million, that is the deficit.
They planned to spend $500 million more than they took in. Planned it.
Why, though? Why, Mr. Lyon?
Because it can.
But I mean, would you run your household like that?
Yeah, but a household and a government ain't the same thing. So you can't ask me an economist that. That's two different words.
Hold on.
Will a country ever die from old age?
But I mean, it'll die from, you know, the other day, the Greek economy had to shut down because they couldn't afford to pay the bills.
Listen to me, please. Mm-hmm. I try to educate people on this show. Right. I really do. I can get passionate about it, but I try to educate. It is not the same thing. It is far from the same thing. A human being who has a household cannot simply make you pay it money. A government can.
Right. I know that the government can.
A government will never age.
I know that the government will never be unemployed. Yeah, but I know that the government can tax us to eternity, and he can try to get it all. But then, at the end of the day, the government itself will end up failing because you can't get out of the people. You can't get more out of the people in there.
You can't get mine.
And then, if we would like send them other countries, when the government come with their high taxes, boy, they take you to the street and they break up everything. You know, because we so passive, we sit down and let the government do whatever they want to do with us. That's how I see it, you know. We're not like the mother country. Man, you know the other day when they wanted to raise the age of retirement in France. Man, and people go on and say, what you're trying to do, you know? But because we are so passive, they do anything to us. And we say, oh, that's the government.
Okay, now, first of all, you see, I let you go a very long time. You get all of your jokes.
Everything you say.
Listen to me. I agree with you 100% that we have seen those things take place in those countries. But do you know that the level of taxation in those countries are of the order of 40-something, 50-something percent, and yours is still today at 20% or thereabouts?
Yeah, but 20%. You know... I mean, that may be true, but
you pay no income tax, you pay no capital gains tax, you pay no inheritance tax, you pay no death tax.
We don't need to pay any because we, we're not getting all of the benefits that these people, they do have a lot of benefits for their taxes.
Are they getting the benefits and then rioting in the street?
Yeah, because you know what? Because the government is trying to take more from them, and they say, you know, they say we ain't got no more.
Yeah,
that's all I'm saying. The government is trying to get some more out of them in order to fund the government, and the people are saying, listen, man, I ain't got no more. I ain't got no more. You gotta find something else to try to get your money from. I understand how government works, all right? Let's forget them for the moment.
Mm-hmm. You are far from them. And you still don't want to. You still don't want to pay them. None. You're far from them.
You know, nobody wants to take, anybody want to pay taxes, right? People feel like, you know, taking from the rich in order to give to the poor would make things better. But according to rich dad, poor dad, you know, it doesn't really work like that. Because the poor are still going to be poor. But we need to find a balance in our economy. And we can see what the government is doing with our monies. That's what the people want to see. What are you doing with all of this money? Why haven't we gotten our, our sovereign wealth fund? Why haven't that, you know, all this money with the government getting from the airspace?
Man, you're trying to take me into all kind of things, man.
Man, you know, the people need to get something back from the government, man. Like in the U.S.
Man, you're getting plenty back. Stop that. You're getting plenty back.
Listen, we need to get a little holiday here and there.
We got to go to a break. We got to take a break and we come back. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back after this break. Yeah, we're going to be back after this break.
Have you taken a look at those investment options yet?
Too busy. Look at today. Workout, breakfast, drop kids at school, back-to-back meetings, dog from the groomer, nail.
That's because my money is as busy as you.
At RF, we find the best Bahamian and international investments to keep your money busy so you can spend more time focusing on you. Contact us at rfgroup.com to find out more. RF, money at work.
Right, you know what's going down tomorrow?
Nobody, what happening?
Joe bringing the knife to school? He could do Junior in?
For what?
Well, he fooled with Joe girl.
Mother sick. And you know Junior don't back down for nothing. So that means you got a big fight tomorrow.
So whose side you want?
Side? I trying to stay in school, not Simpson fan. We gotta tell somebody about this fight.
Tell somebody? I ain't no snitch. I mean cool, you know.
Wait, if you so cool, then you need to stay in school and stay out of the fight.
Yeah, but if I don't hang on Joe's side, him and he boys coming for me next.
Alright, so we definitely gotta tell somebody. We gotta prevent the fight.
What I say, I don't want nobody call me snitch.
We could just call Crime Stoppers. You could report what you know, and nobody gotta know it's you.
So how do I work?
All you gotta do is call them, or you text them through the Crack Crime Bahamas app, and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me for more info, and when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me? Uh-uh.
When you call Crime Stoppers, the calls go directly to Miami, and they don't ask nothing about you. Then if you get the pin from them, and they can claim a reward later using that same pin.
Plus, everything's creature rate 8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shabab Olan, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I think that our previous caller made some very good points. But, you know, no one can accurately claim. I mean, it really is an exaggeration. It could be even, some might say, let me just put it this way, an untruth. you don't get anything back? Are you serious? I had to argue this point somewhere before. Are you not? Just on the fundamentals of life. There's a police force in this country to keep the peace. There's a defense force. There's a prison system. There's an education system. All these teachers giving them whatever, and you don't get nothing back? Really? There's social services, there's scholarship to the University of Bahamas, You don't get nothing. See, we could make our points about wanting more and not say grossly inaccurate things. That's just being ungrateful, I think, to God. Forget the government. Ungrateful to God, our government system that provides an environment that so many people want to come to, visit, and live in, and you get nothing back? Because that just happens because it just happens. There's no government at all. Dang, y'all are serious in life, man. This text says, bring the prices down on healthy alternatives as well. Fruits, vegetables, and natural juice drinks prices are too high. Yeah. Says, Mr. Lang, I finally agree with a tax this New Day government may implement. In this sugar tax, implement this and take it on my off my insurance. You know, I think that that sentiment is prevail. I don't think that the policy itself is the problem. I think it's now the implementation. You have a policy. It's sound on the health front. It is sound on the health front. There's no arguing the science and health implications of sugar. But then you turn around and then you water it down. Oh, well, we're not going to do it now. You know, I don't see it happening anytime soon. But it's an important health measure. But now the implementation of it would be embroiled in what? Like, where did the pushback come from on this? Was it because the opposition talked about it? Really? I'm telling you. If the opposition pushed back on a sugar tax, I would say to the opposition, your pushback is bad policy. I would say that. I'm telling you, it's bad policy. It's bad health policy. I don't see Dr. Duane Sands, chairman of the FNM, arguing on that. I don't. Not the minister and the administration that was trying to the bread basket so that it had more healthy items. I don't see them pushing back against a sugar tax. I could see them arguing, no, I don't think it should be applied on that item because the level of sugar in that item, well, you know, so. But on that item, yes, absolutely. I could see that argument, but pushing back because it is a tax? No, man. Would they push back on a cigarette tax? I cannot see that. But now you have a grounds for arguing the point, because now you waffle it on it. Why? A sugar tax to me, I'm talking about Chicago right now. I'm not talking about the University of Bahamas. I'm not talking about the Government Public Policy Institute. On all the things I know, I think trying to make sugary items more expensive is can be helpful. Now, I do have to concede this. I would have to see the evidence on whether or not it actually leads to better outcomes. I really do. So I can't, as a policy institute, we're going to do a literature review of it. And we're going to see what the literature says about where maybe such policies have been implemented and what the results have been. We will do that. I think that makes sense. So I'm only opinionating on the possible disincentive to consuming sugary items because the tax on them have become more expensive. So I'm only opinionating, right? So the opposition would not, I suppose, say some representation push back on a sugar tax. But my pushback on giving the Minister of Health unilateral power to set the tax without coming to Parliament. Now, I don't know about that. I mean, the Parliament, I can't see you introducing a tax. Well, there are some fees that can be adjusted by, and then tabled in Parliament. So I don't know, I'd have to see the law to see what it suggests, what the law suggests. But also remember though, it may become a technical argument that the minister can approve the tax unilaterally, because that never happens. No minister can approve a tax, even if he has that power. When the law says minister, it means the cabinet. So the cabinet gets to approve it. And if the cabinet approves it, and the cabinet is the government, and the government comes to Parliament, they're not going to lose that vote. But can the opposition have a say? The opposition can have a say on tax matters, but it can't change it. In fact, when the Minister of Finance announces a tax in the House of Assembly during budgetary, that tax is automatically, instantly in effect. And the Parliament hasn't voted on it. So I don't see, once the government determines that it wants to tax in that area, if it's good policy, I have no issue with it. But now you bring it and then backtracking on it to some degree, well, I don't understand that. I'd have to look at that a little bit more carefully. Ah, politics is such an interesting business. Indeed. And let there be no poems about it. It's interesting. I mean, it really is, because of the way it can cause contortions and gymnastics around posturing on an issue. And you can't blame so much the politicians, because they are in a scramble for your support. And some of you are crying, oh, they're taxing us. My God, even the poor man getting taxed on the doggone shit. Oh, that's a grand policy. That's really great, so forth. So the politician angling for support has to decide, okay, what position angles me with the largest group of people? And very many times, that's the consideration. I'm not criticizing. That's really the reality, because you are not going to get into power without popular support. But sometimes the statesman says, like, now, but listen to me. This is good policy. Let me support it. Now, let's talk about some parameters around it, but it's good policy. And I'm not going to refute that. We have a text. We have a call on the line. We have an interesting call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Good afternoon. How you doing?
Hey, Doc. How are you, sir?
And I'm hoping that you can hear me.
I can hear you very well, sir.
So you will not get any pushback from the Free National Movement about what is arguably a necessary public health intervention.
This is real.
I mean, when you look at and go to the encyclopedia, if anyone still has their health, you see a picture of a Bahamian, okay?
Mm.
We got the worst hypertension, the worst diabetes, we're more overweight, we got more heart disease, and I'm not exaggerating. Okay.
No, it's bad. It's really bad.
And we don't want to claim it. We do not want to claim it. We'd like to say, well, you know, it ain't me, it ain't us, it ain't my family, but it is us. We don't want to look in the mirror and acknowledge that we have a horrible, horrible diet. We don't exercise, etc. And so,
and sugar is a real component of that, is it?
Sugar is a massive component, and we consume far too much sugar than we need or that is healthy. And so, you know, you have hit the nail on the head. This is good policy. And the evidence is there that by making sugar or sugar sweetened beverages more expensive, that you're going to improve health. And there have been countries all over the world that have demonstrated this. Okay?
Wow. I didn't know. So thank you. Yes.
The politics of sugar now is where you start to get in trouble. And so let's go back to when I was the minister, when it was not politically advantageous for the then opposition to support a change. And what they said, it was, oh, this was an assault on the culture of Bahamians, that we need our Kool-Aid and our corned beef. And that this was not, we were out of touch with the Bahamian people. As a matter of fact, the deputy prime minister, the deputy leader of the opposition at the time said that it, and even if we did it, we wouldn't raise a whole lot of money and wouldn't have much impact on health infrastructure or national health insurance. And I believe that those are almost verbatim the words that he used. In truth, the benefits that have come from making sugar more expensive is two things. You reduce use, and you also gain a little bit of revenue that you can spend on the non-communicable diseases that it creates. And that is why it is so effective. And it is also one of the totally naive why we need to, at some point, learn how to depoliticize issues of health and education in this country. Because the minute you start weaponizing these things, the price that you pay for your people is incredible. Don't forget.
Was there a reaction from the opposition to this? Because I didn't understand why the prime minister would have taken this position that we don't intend to do anything about it anytime soon.
Well, because I think he is worried about the politics of it all, okay? And, you know, one of the challenges of governance is that you got to make some tough decisions. You got to make some challenging.
But if you worry about the politics of it, why introduce the bill?
Well, you know, I think the Minister of Health and Wellness, the Honorable Prime Minister, can answer that question. But we will simply remind Bahamians that, you know, we refuse to remove VAT from sugar at the time when we rolled back VAT on the bread basket items, eh? And so, you know, health policy ought to undergird a lot of the city evidence base. I think we are going to watch the wet finger in the wind kind of approach to policy, which is unfortunate. I recall we moved sugar-sweetened beverages from the hospital in 2019. But if you go to the hospital today, you'll see every sweet soda, every sugar-sweetened beverage that you could want in the hospital, the clinics, all over.
When we get a chance to talk, we must have you come on and let's have a conversation about these and other matters, please, because your perspectives, both as a professional and as a politician, can be useful. Can we do that?
Absolutely. I would love the opportunity.
We'll make that happen. Thank you very much. And similarly, it'd be great. I'm waiting to hear from the... Thank you, Dr. Sands, Dwayne Sands. Thank you very much, Doc.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yes, sir. I'm waiting to hear the Minister of Health's contribution on this. And I love Dr. Lawan to share on these matters because, I know he has a passion for these things. And so anyway, ladies and gentlemen, we'll see how this all transpires. We'll watch it carefully. You've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shabago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us. We'll see you again tomorrow. God spares life.